Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Oh, I was warned about her love.
Little Robert Cray bringing us back, my favorite blues man, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of good stuff there that will help you with your small business. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. Check out all the other things, the news, the brain trust, the articles, the archives, et cetera, et cetera. And don't forget to take our poll. You can still weigh in on the poll question this week, which is all about which party or movement do you think has the best answers for the economy? Democrats, Republicans, Libertarian, or Tea Party? So check that out. Wayne Cruz is our guest. He's our good friend, original member, founding member of our Brain Trust, VP of Policy and Technology Studies at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org is that website. Wayne, one of the things you work on pretty closely is the cybersecurity, the technology issues, the internet security issues, and you've been covering that lately, and there's a bill that you're concerned about. Talk to us about that.
Right. Well, I'm still back on Robert Cray and the Stratocaster. No, I'm just kidding. but yeah, Jim, well, basically this, we at CEI, a lot of the policy groups in town work on internet policy issues, and that includes things like privacy and being secure online.
Right.
And I've been on the show with you talking about privacy a good bit.
Exactly.
And things like security of the net, biometrics, you know, how the web's tracking.
Net neutrality, we've talked about all that.
Exactly. Yep. Well, one of the concerns now, especially after 9/11 and the ramp up in Homeland Security and the creation of that agency and all that, is what's called cybersecurity. And that's kind of a blanket term because, you know, everything now is cyber, you know.
Right. In fact, let me stick one thing in here, Wayne.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Folks, if you're wondering what this has to do with you, when we asked you in our poll a few weeks ago, would you be more likely to buy technology to grow your business or hire a person, another person? 71% of you said that you would be more likely to acquire technology instead of hire another person if you had that choice. Well, today, adding new technology means working on the internet, means working in the cloud. Most of that's working in the cloud. And so this cybersecurity stuff is as essential to your future as it is any major company or government. So this is something. This is why I wanted Wayne to talk to us about it. Go ahead, Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly true. In fact, one of the main things is remember too, the internet was not designed to be a secure system. So any small business ought to always have records backed up offline as well,
right.
Not just online. But there's some amazing tools that lets you back up what you do online, but at the very same time, you keep a copy on your hard drive
absolutely.
Or your internal. You've absolutely got to do that.
Yep.
But what's going on now is in the broader question that it affects us all, because we're talking about the big networks and the capital I internet, and so to speak, is threats to the internet, you know, coming from overseas, from China, from hackers, from computer criminals, from, you know, insiders at companies doing bad things. The worry is that hackers in Russia or China or Chinese military and so forth are trying to take down the internet or try to take down the electricity grid and so forth. Lots of debate about it, lots of claims that it's hyped and overblown and so forth. But the point is the internet was never designed to be secure. So
tell us what you mean by that.
The internet, see, was designed primarily, you know, it emerged out of military experiments and so forth, and it was used in universities, and it was designed originally and used originally for sharing of information. The internet's for sharing,
since when it was originally developed, not too many people were using it. They weren't really worried about it.
That's right.
There was global internet backbone, and so they weren't worried about security.
Indeed, and it's for sharing, not for hiding. And as I told when I testified in the Senate one time on these security issues, I said, you know, if it's perfect security and privacy you want, the internet's the wrong network for you.
Right.
And I think that's a healthy attitude. That's not saying come in and regulate it, because
right.
I went through chapter and verse on why what they were proposing would be bad things.
Right.
But what's going on now is Lieberman and Collins. It's a bipartisan bill, and it's called Protecting Cyberspace as a National Asset. it's that approach to the grid and the network and the internet that worries me a little bit. You know, calling something a national asset that is really an assemblage of private networks, to me, sets up red flags in terms
of
regulation.
It sounds like nationalizing healthcare to me, doesn't it, to you?
It does a lot to me, and they'll certainly deny it. And one of the things, one of the criticisms of the bill
And, of course, we have to point out here, Wayne, excuse me, Lieberman, Collins is a Republican, and Lieberman is a patriot Democrat. This is one of the most honest people that I've ever known in Washington D.C. To me.
Well, put it this way: there are lots.
So these aren't wackos Republican. From the left and the right here.
No, they're not. And you have to keep in mind that when you're trying to protect something in a free society, there's both a government role and a private sector role. You have to have your police force, but you also have to have your personal barbed wire and padlocks.
Right.
And the problem with legislation like this that sets up the tone of cybersecurity being a government responsibility more than a private one, it's tilting the scales of the way we think about internet protection toward relying on the government rather than relying on the private sector. And I hold that the kind of internet that we end up with 10, 20, 50 years from now, where government has this kill switch over the internet, it's the exaggeration, but it's claimed that, the federal government with this legislation can step in and shut off sectors of the internet if it fears an attack is imminent. The kind of internet that evolves in that kind of reality is going to be a weaker, inferior one to one where we tend to rely on the private sector, keeping stuff off the network, air gapping.
Hold on to that thought, Wayne.
Some things are just not appropriate.
We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I'm going to ask Wayne, what is this bill? How is this bill going to impinge upon our ability to operate in the marketplace on our own? And is this more government regulation? Tintail, right back after these messages with Wayne Cruz. Stay with us. Welcome back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. We're having a great visit with our good friend Wayne Cruz. He's with Competitive Enterprise Institute, one of the VPs over there. Wayne, tell us about CEI.
CEI is a market liberal, libertarian, I guess you could say small L libertarian, think tank, advocacy, action group. Work on everything from the bailouts to, the whole NASCAR bailouts and banking bailout and so forth. Financial reform, insurance issues, I do a lot of telecom issues, general regulatory reform, all the things that we can do to minimize and lessen the regulatory state, the impact on business and consumers is what we focus on.
Right.
A lot of groups are doing tax and budget issues. We tend to look at regulation,
right,
as a hidden tax, and focus there.
Wayne's one of the folks, ladies and gentlemen, who've informed us over the years about the fact that small businesses pay more than double per employee per year in regulatory compliance more than big companies do.
That's right. And what you mentioned,
that number's going up.
Exactly. And, we look at things like the way regulations stack up as a small firm grows and ways of rolling that back. So we're interested in doing things like making sure the new regulations that come out of the federal government have an expiration date. They should all have an expiration date like a carton of milk. That'd be a great thing.
Right.
And in order for them to continue, Congress should have to act.
Exactly.
Those are the ones we elect, not the agencies who are, who can issue, just stamp out rules constantly.
Right. So back to the Lieberman Collins cyber bill. The big concern we have there is that they're trying to make cybersecurity in fighting this. They're trying to using language that makes you think that they think that the internet is owned by the government, basically.
Right. It's too much. To me, it's too much. I don't think they would put
isn't
it that way.
Isn't that a good argument, though, from a national security standpoint, Wayne?
It sure is. It is, and it puts too much power in the hands of the government to regulate the internet. There's no question there's national security, defense, diplomatic, other reasons for making sure that there's security in certain kind of channels on the internet. But a lot of that kind of data, there are a lot of options for treating it, not just good security standards for the government's own software and the government's own infrastructure, But some of those networks shouldn't be connected to the Internet at all. You know, they're simply air-gapped and things like that, and you know, other approaches are taken.
When you say air-gapped, tell us what you mean by air-gapped.
In other words, just keep it off the Internet altogether.
I got
For
you.
Example, if the power grid is vulnerable to attack, as this legislation says, we'll stop hooking it up to the Internet.
Right.
the Internet is not secure.
Just disengage it, yeah.
Exactly. It's already running.
For example, how did 86,000 pieces of confidential information wind up in online for the Afghan war? I mean, where did that come from? How did that happen?
Exactly. Well, that's one of the things. I mean, you know, government is hardly a guarantor of security anyway. Even if you were to say, oh, well, this is what we need to do. We need to have a central authority manage security on the Internet, or at least set policy or force people to share information. But, you know, I would almost joke and argue that, you know, a good cybersecurity bill might be to act Title I, stop losing government laptops.
Right. You know? So let me ask you, let me ask you a question. So you're saying that it sounds like that our government, which we know is a horribly inefficient organism, would they're trying to basically impose new restrictions and new burdens on the rest of us who are a lot more efficient in terms of the Internet, rather than just getting their own house in order and taking care of their own inefficiencies.
That's how I feel. It's you know,
and that makes
exactly
perfect sense to me.
But with respect to government's own core functions of defense and security, it's appropriate for it to, you know, for example, appoint an authority within the White House, as this bill does.
But
it's appropriate
but
for
Wayne,
it to
remember,
say,
these
well,
are
we
the...
need to have certain kinds of information sharing. That's fine.
Wayne, remember that these are the same people. These are the same people who just reformed what they so-called financial reform, but without touching anything with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Right.
You know what I mean? So this is
the core. It doesn't inspire confidence by any stretch.
This is a logical
thing.
All. So this is a bill. Has it passed?
No, it's in negotiation. There's two Senate versions, but this has now become the major one. There's another
the
one.
The Lieberman Collins Carper bill on national cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm. It's called Protecting Cybersecurity as a National Asset.
Yeah.
But the main thing is, you know, you've got to be cautious of things that inspire new regulation of the Internet, and as you talked about earlier, create new uncertainty in the online world and in the world of online wealth creation and infrastructure growth.
If we don't get our government out of the way of the marketplace, we're doomed.
Well, we're working on doing it.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. Thanks for being here, Wayne. Good job today. CEI.org. Wayne Cruz is a founding member of our Brain Trust. Thanks for all these years, Wayne. See you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.